This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Well, good morning, everyone. I can't believe it's been almost over a year since I was last here, and it's been a wonderful year in our family, a full year. But yeah, it's an absolute joy to be here this morning. So thanks for having me. So as I've been praying about what to talk about this morning, the thing that the Lord put on my heart was to look at this idea of the power of celebration. And I feel like that's an appropriate topic for today as we celebrate and we honour mothers in our life, both spiritual and biological mothers. And today it's about giving it a space to just honour them and to look at how we've been blessed through them. But I just want to acknowledge just from the very, very beginning that for some, contemplating and considering the topic of celebration on a day like Mother's Day might be difficult. And I just want to say, I guess for some, for Mother's Day, it might surface feelings of grief and of sadness. And if you're in that position today, I just want to say that's completely okay and that the Lord is in that. And so please don't hear this message of celebration as something that speaks against those feelings. I believe that, you know, as a community, we're called to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And both have such value in our community. And as I was praying through that, I just sensed the Lord say to me again, if you're in that season, what you sow in tears, you will reap in joy. And so may this message be something for you today that you can just hold in your heart to have these keys of celebration for this season that I believe you're going to reap in joy. So I just wanted to, I guess, say that before we get into this topic today. So celebration is such an important part of life. And I love this quote by Abraham Heschel, who was a Jewish theologian, a Polish-born American rabbi. And he says these words, "People of our time are losing the power of celebration. Instead of celebrating, we seek to be amused or entertained. Celebration is an active state, an act of expressing reverence or appreciation. Celebration is a confrontation, giving attention to the transcendent meaning of one's actions." So celebration is this intentional effort for us to offer appreciation to someone or something. And it allows us to actually revel and stay in a moment. And in a society where I think it's so easy to just move from one thing to the next, having moments of celebration actually allow us to stop and just to honour God for what he's done and just to be thankful. 2 weeks ago, my husband and I were speaking at a Soul Survivor gathering, which is a gathering they do every year in April for youth. And our little Joey decided to get gastro. And unfortunately, she passed that on to mum. And we were standing in worship, and I looked at my husband, and this was about a couple of minutes before I got up on stage to speak, and I said, "Oh, this is intense nerves. Like, I get nervous, but this is just, this feels different. This is pretty full on." And I didn't know I was sick at this point. And I got up on stage to speak. I didn't feel anything, praise God. He just totally got me through. But then when I stepped off stage, I was praying with a gorgeous little young girl. And all of a sudden, I started to feel really sweaty and sick in my stomach. And I thought, oh no. And I just kind of did the bless you in Jesus' name and like ran across to the side of the room where there was a bin and vomited in front of all these kids. It was awful. And then went home and called mum and was like, "Mum, you've got to come down. Like, I don't know how I'm going to look after Joey," and take my hat off to my husband, because then he got it and he was speaking the next day and vomited about 3 times before he got up to speak. I don't know how he did it. But mum saved the day. And look, despite our weaknesses, God did amazing things. And I got into the office on Monday, and I sat down to write this talk, and I just felt the Holy Spirit so strongly just tell me to stop. And I just felt him say, just celebrate and honor me for what I did last week before you move on to the next thing. And I'm someone who likes to be organized and like I like to be prepared, so I want to move on and think about the next thing. And God was just so clear in like, no, Emma, just stop. And so I just spent a bit of time just writing down and recording everything that I saw him do. His faithfulness to Andrew and I in helping us get through that week. And so, you know, celebration can be so important for just remembering and being thankful for what God is doing in our communities. And so what does the Bible say about celebration? The word celebrate, it's actually used 83 times in the NIV translation, and it's used in different ways. We can celebrate comes from the translation of the Hebrew verb hagag, which means to prepare, to keep or observe a feast or a festival. So one of the ways we see this word used is when it's used in relation to the festivals that they celebrated in the Old and New Testament. It's a way of them honouring God regularly through these annual festivals. The other way we see that it's used is in relation to the word hallel, which is the Hebrew root word for praise, and that actually means to praise, to celebrate, to glory, to be boastful, to rave, or to be clamorously foolish. And celebration then also has this relationship to our worship to God, our praise and our honor to God. So some images of celebration that we see in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 23, we see God speaks of three annual festivals. He says in verse 14, three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. And so he talks about in verse 15, the festival of the unleavened bread. And for 7 days they were to eat bread without yeast. And that was to happen in the month of Aviv when they were delivered out of Egypt, and it was a celebration of remembering what God had done. They'd also celebrate Passover at this time, and I heard that you guys as a community shared a Passover meal together, which is awesome. He goes on to say in verse 16 that they would celebrate the festival of the harvest with the first fruits. So basically, they would give God the first fruits that they had sown. It was a way of Israel acknowledging that God was their source of blessing, that God was the one who was providing for them. He also talks about the celebration of the festival of the ingathering, and that would happen at the end of the year when they would gather all the crops from their fields. In Exodus 15, another image of celebration that we see a song of Moses and Miriam when they're celebrating God and praising God for delivering them out of Egypt, out of the hands of the Egyptians, and they were led into freedom. And so that's a picture of, again, them honouring and praising God for his faithfulness. So those are just some, there's so many more images in the Old Testament, but that's just a picture of some of the images of celebration we see. As we move into the New Testament, Matthew 26, you see Jesus saying that he's going to go and celebrate the Passover, and that was an important celebration they had with the disciples. In Luke 15, we see a different image of celebration with the prodigal son and the younger son returning home, and the father says that he had to celebrate and be glad because the brother has returned home, and he puts this big feast and festival of celebration on. In Revelation, we see a future picture of celebration, and that's the ultimate celebration, Revelation 19, with the marriage supper of the Lamb. So there's all these different beautiful pictures of celebration that we see scattered throughout the Bible, and these moments of celebration, they allow us as a community to engage in spaces for remembrance, for thanksgiving, for praise, and for honor. And so this morning I just want to look at three aspects of celebration. And the first one I want to look at is simply celebrating God. Celebrating God. In Psalm 145, verse 7, it says, "They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." You know, just reading that verse, I had to ask myself again, am I known as someone who celebrates the abundant goodness of God? Am I known for someone who just joyfully sings of the righteousness that I have received in Jesus? The goodness of God, the righteousness we have received in Jesus, those two things alone give us reason to celebrate. And, you know, I think, you know, some of the ways this can look is celebrating God through song and dance. And we see images in the Bible of people bringing exuberant praise to God through praise and worship and song and dance. And it can look like clapping, hands raised in worship. It can look like knees bowed, dancing before God. There's something about the physical expression of what is going on in our heart. And I don't want to prescribe exactly what that looks like for you and what celebration looks like for you, but there does seem to be a call in the Bible to express with God, with our physical bodies, what is going on in our hearts. And if you think about that word, halal, with that word of praise, that Hebrew word, says to praise, to celebrate, and to be clamorously foolish. There is an outward showing of celebration in our physical bodies with what God has done in our hearts. When it comes to celebrating God through praise and worship, this is a big area of growth for me. I'm someone who is very aware of what's going on around me, of how I might look around people. And actually, my husband and my 10-month-old Joey have taught me a lot about what it looks like to express the joy that you've received in your heart outwardly. And I just want to honour my husband, and I love the way that he just worships God with his whole being, even if he looks a little bit stupid. He's like just completely abandoned to God, and he just doesn't care. And I've really loved watching that, and he's taught me a lot in that. Joey, she's a screamer. And it's not because she's not mad. Sometimes she's mad, but it's not because she's mad. It's like she gets so excited and she can't contain it and she just screams. I'll take her to a cafe and she'll see other children and she just can't contain it in her heart, and she'll just scream, and then the other kids cry because they don't understand. But it's just this outward expression of joy, and she's teaching me to not care so much what other people think, because I'll be in the shops and I'll be doing these things and I just like to get on with my day, and she'll just like make so much noise. Everyone will look, kind of give me that look of control your child. It's like, I can't. She's actually happy, I promise. But you know, they have both just shown me this beautiful picture of this physical expression of the joy that we have in our hearts for simply knowing Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes that will look like just being still with Jesus. And that's okay too. That's fine. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, in this moment, how can I best bring an offering of praise to God as a response of what's going on in my heart? What does that look like for me to show with my whole self, my whole body, the love that I have for God? And if we are afraid and don't honour him in certain ways because we are afraid of looking silly, then that's something that we have to bring before God and ask for courage and help in. And we might need to remind ourselves of someone like David. In 2 Samuel 6:22, he says these words, "I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes." We know that he danced half naked and people despised him for that. But the point was that he just wanted to be in complete abandonment of praise to God, even if it humiliated him, even if it made him look stupid. I love this quote by James Bryant Smith. He says, "Worship is our response to what God has done and what he is doing." And so celebration, it's just part of our worship to God, honouring what he has done and what he is going to do. I think the other way celebrating God can be celebrating Him through the sacraments. And I actually heard of a couple the other day who takes communion daily together just as a way as remembering what God has done and the power in that, and actually consciously remembering what they have actually received in Jesus. And so what can you build into your rhythm and your quiet time with Jesus that actually allows you to engage regularly in celebration and remembering what He has done for you? My husband and I realized the other day, we've got an 18-year-old girl living with us, which is awesome. So we're having more and more meals around the table together as a family. And we just realized our grace at dinner time was getting a little bit dull and a little bit monotonous, not very heartfelt. And I felt terrible because Andrew finished saying grace and I was like, oh, we need to change this. This isn't good. So essentially I was critiquing his prayer, which wasn't very nice of me. But I said, we need to change it and make this really meaningful. So what we do is we just simply go around the table at dinner time and we just say something that we're thankful for. And it's just a simple way of just honouring God in that moment, in that day. What has He done? Because it can be really easy just to get stuck in these rhythms. And so for us, that's just been a space where we can, as a family, engage in a regular space of remembrance and thanksgiving. And so what rhythms can you build into your life with Jesus where you can engage in that celebration? The other aspect I want to talk about is celebrating each other. And this is something I'm really, really passionate about, because if I'm honest with you, I don't think Australians naturally do this that well. And I think we struggle to verbalise our honour for others, you know, especially our leaders. I think we find that quite difficult. And sometimes we find it easier to kind of tear down or joke with sarcasm than to build up intentionally with praise. And I just, if you look at our political climate, the way in which we respect and honour our leaders isn't that great. Even if we don't agree with what they're putting forward, this natural kind of celebration and honour of people who are in those positions of leadership is not, I don't think, is something that Australian culture is doing that well. And I just believe that the church needs to step up and demonstrate celebration and honour of each other. And so I want to look at this within a church setting. And I just want to honour what you guys have done with Greenhouse Church and just seeing and hearing of that process. And I just believe that you guys have celebrated that milestone as a community really well, and sending that team out and just celebrating with them as they start this new adventure. And that's been really beautiful to watch. And I do believe that that's actually been a light to the wider Baptist family of what it looks to celebrate these milestones together, and it's a testament to Craig and his leadership and to all of you guys as a community and the sincerity of your love for each other and just celebrating that transition really, really well. And you know, when we honour and we celebrate people in our community, it actually recognises and affirms that each person is valuable. We are made in God's image and we are significant to Him. And so churches need to be a place where we celebrate the best in people despite our differences. And we need to learn to respond to each other based on our God-given identity rather than our behaviour. It's a shift in mindset. We need to learn to respond to each other based as sharing the same identity as sons and daughters of God. The prodigal son, I just wanted to use this parable to illustrate this point. In Luke 15, you're welcome to turn there if you like. I'm not going to read the whole story, but it's verses 11 to 31. I'm going to retell it for us, but I'm sure it's one that you've all heard of. But we know that there's a father and he has two sons, And the younger one asked for the share of the estate and his inheritance. And so the father divides that estate between the two sons. The younger one, he goes and he squanders all his wealth with wild living, and he ends up feeding pigs. He's starving, and he decides to go back to his father. And the father shows incredible compassion on him. He embraces him. He kisses him. And he says these words in verse 23. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And the older son is actually angry and he refuses to join in the celebration. He believes that he, in fact, has been faithful to the father and he has never himself received a celebration. He says this in verse 29, "You never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." And the father says to the older son, "My son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." God just gave me a whole new way of looking at this story when I was reading it. And the older son just couldn't engage in celebration because he believed it wasn't justified. He believed it wasn't justified for the younger son, and he himself hadn't received a celebration. And sometimes in our church communities, we will see or hear how God has moved in another person's life. And we might find it really difficult to celebrate with that person for a number of reasons. Like the older brother, you may feel it's not justified. You might sit there and we might unfortunately fall into religiosity and say, well, why did God move in their life in that way? You know, they don't deserve it. I've done this and this and this, and God hasn't responded to me like that. Again, we're focusing on a person's behavior rather than their God-given identity. And if you look at that younger brother, that was a breakthrough moment for him. He turned his life around, came back to the father, and had this beautiful intimacy with the father. And so sometimes I think, and I've been in this position before, we can see someone in our community have this breakthrough moment. And there seems to be like this moment of intimacy that they're having with God. And that can be really hard to celebrate with them in that moment because that's something we've wanted and we haven't seen God move in our life in that moment. And so, you know, you might see someone celebrating the healing of a family member or the provision of a job or a son or a daughter coming back to God. And because we desperately want that in our life and haven't seen that, we then find it hard to rejoice with them. And I just want to say for you in that moment, God is in that, and I understand how hard it is, but it's so important to press into the heart of God when you're in that place. And I have been in that place. And when I haven't pressed into that heart of God, I've let bitterness grow up inside of me. And the Bible calls us to, as I said earlier, to rejoice with those who rejoice. So to celebrate and honor a move of God in someone's life that you're desperately wanting, that shows such a beautiful trust in God and just is an amazing picture of love that I think our communities need to see. The other thing I realize is that the older brother in this story, he couldn't respond beyond his circumstance. He put religiosity on. He tried to explain God's gift of grace as a result of good works, of what I've done this and they haven't done that. And so if we fall into that trap of thinking that God will respond to us based on works, we will find it really hard to celebrate the radical acts of God's grace in each other's life. You know, today is it's Mother's Day, and it's a perfect opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit, well, how can I celebrate and honour the mothers in my life? Whether that's a spiritual mother or whether it's your biological mother, it's such a good opportunity to, as a community, ask, what does that look like? And I already believe this morning has been a really beautiful picture of family and honouring that. But it might look like just asking God for a prophetic word for that person, a word, a scripture, a picture, and calling out the gold in them, calling out this, the gold in them, and what they have done for you in that in your life. Might look like giving generosity with time and gifts and whatever it is. Like, what does that look like for you today? Bring that before the Holy Spirit and just ask Him, how can you honor those figures in your life really, really well? Equally, I think we fail to testify and celebrate what God has done in our life if we feel like it isn't someone else's experience. And sometimes we get fearful of sharing our breakthrough moments or celebrating what God has done if we know that someone else hasn't experienced that. And, you know, churches need to be places where we hear the stories of how the resurrection power is moving in and through us. That's one of the purposes of gathering here on a Sunday, that we would spur each other on and share what God has been doing in our life. And, you know, as we remember and we retell of God through our testimonies, it creates an atmosphere of faith. And that can be really, really important. I just want to give you an example of how I've kind of let fear stop me from sharing things, but I had quite a miraculous labor experience and birthing experience. I had very little experience of pain. I had an overwhelming sense of supernatural peace to the point where my obstetrician was like, this whole thing doesn't make sense. What's going on? The midwives would came and saw me and said, did you do hypnosis or calm birth? And what was going on? And God had taken me, as I shared a little bit before, a big journey about what it means to speak out the love of God and faith over fear. And it was quite a bizarre experience, and just the sense of peace in that birthing suite was quite incredible. But if I'm really honest with you, and God taught me a lot through that, but I've been really terrified to actually testify to that and share that story, because I have loved friends and I just understand that that's not everyone's experience. And that's actually stopped me from sharing what God actually did in that moment for me and what He taught me. And the Holy Spirit, He actually rebuked me for this thinking. And He was like, Emma, if you don't share that, you're actually not giving me the honor and praise and the glory that I deserve in that moment. And it just was a reminder for me that we need communities where we feel safe to share and testify to what God is doing. I have a friend who went through a similar journey as me with me. She had a labor where obstacle after obstacle, her baby's heartbeat dropped. It was really challenging. And yet she still kind of kept, similar to me, in this perfect peace, and she encountered Jesus. And I think I just realized that, you know, although our circumstances were different, we both had an encounter of Jesus. And both those stories are really important to share. And so we need to share moments in our community and testify to moments of wonder and moments of perseverance, of moments of healing and moments of death. We need to share moments in the valleys and moments in the mountaintops. Both of those circumstances and those experiences can lead to encounters of Jesus. They both can, and so we need to be a community who shares those things and shares how we have encountered Jesus. And so I just want to say, don't withhold what God, celebrating what God has done in your life, because God might be working differently in someone else's circumstance. There is a way to be sensitive and loving as we share our testimonies. That's really important. But the moment we actually give into fear about how someone else might respond, we lose that beautiful moment just to celebrate and honour what God did in our life. Craig mentioned it before, but in Psalm 145, verse 4, it says, "One generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts." And I just love hearing from the older people in my community about the way that they've seen the mighty acts of God. I love hearing it. It spurs me on in faith. It's like this great, they're like a great cloud of witnesses that testifies to the power of God. And I just feel like for some of you today, you need to be reminded that your story is worth sharing. And you have seen God do things that other people would really, really benefit from hearing. And so, you know, whether that's in your small group or your families or here on a Sunday, yeah, I just believe that just to share those experiences and your story really has value. The other thing that I just wanted to look at is celebrating milestones and celebrating successes as a church community and a church family. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you're welcome to turn there to now, we read of the celebration of the dedication of the temple of God. And so in this story, God has used King Solomon to build the temple, and basically they're celebrating what has been achieved. The glory of the Lord has filled the temple. He's filled the temple with their presence. They've worshipped God and they're giving thanks to God. And then we read this in verse 8. "So Solomon observed the festival at that time for 7 days, and all Israel with him. A vast assembly, people from Lebo Hamath to Wadi of Egypt. On the 8th day they held an assembly, for they celebrated the dedication of the altar for 7 days more. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people to their homes, joyful and glad in heart for the good things the Lord had done for David, Solomon, and for all the people of Israel." It was believed to take them 20 years to build that temple. And so for Israel, this was a huge milestone. It was a huge achievement. It was a huge success. And it marked their obedience to building that dwelling place for God. And the celebration, they say it took 14 days, 2 weeks. Can you imagine celebrating for that long? And I just, the phrase that just jumped out to me was, "He sent the people to their homes joyful and glad in heart for the good things that the Lord had done." And I just believe that celebration really unlocks the potential for a moment. You know, by celebrating, they unlocked the potential for thanksgiving, for honouring, to praise God, for stepping into joy and to love as a community. There had been hard work that had gone into that temple, and God had blessed them by filling it with his presence. And by celebrating God for 14 days, they were actually honouring God for what he had done and celebrating as a community. And I understand that culturally things were a little bit different back then, but we can learn from them. I really do. In a society where I said before, I think we're losing the art of celebration, and we live in a busy society and it's like we move from one thing to the next, and we can miss the potential for honouring God and praising him in a moment. And it's really, really important because, you know, as a church community, we will go through hard seasons, and it's important to have those moments where we can look back and we can remember the times that we celebrated God for his thankfulness, and we can remember that so to spur us on and keep going when it's hard. And it will create an atmosphere of faith in our community. You know, as I was praying for this community, I just really sensed that as you follow God's vision for this church and are led by him, you guys are going to reach milestones and successes as a community. And my simple encouragement to you this morning is to celebrate those things really, really well with each other, and to celebrate each other well. Honor and celebrate the people who have led the way in that. And as I continued to pray, I saw a stone dropped into water, and it had like a ripple effect. And the sense I had was, as you prioritize celebration here in your community, the ripple effect of that will be that you carry joy into your communities, and people will notice that. We read in the previous passage that they went back home after 14 days of celebration, joyful and glad in hearts, because they had reflected on all that God had done. And so I just believe that as you do that here in your communities in different ways, you guys are going to carry joy in incredible ways, and people will notice it. And I do believe that God wants to restore the joy of our salvation nationwide as a church, and that people are longing to actually see that, wow, these Christians, they're so joyful for what they have received in Jesus. People will notice that. So where can you increase celebration in your life? I just encourage you to sit before the Holy Spirit today and this week and ask Him that question. It might be stepping out in worship and praise, as we mentioned before, and just wanting to show your love and your joy for what God has done. It might look like intentionally celebrating a breakthrough for a friend that you are really desiring in your own life. It might look like testifying to God's goodness and sharing a story of what God has done in and through your life. And maybe as a leader in your workplace, or a parent, parents in their families, or with the people that the people you live with, or even a ministry leader here at church, how can you incorporate regular moments of celebration as you reach milestones and successes with the people that you lead, with the people that you live with, and the people that you work with? So be encouraged. I just believe that God is going to do wonderful acts in this community and in and through you, and He is doing that. And so steward these well. Steward those moments really, really well by celebrating God, celebrating each other, and celebrating their successes, so that Jesus gets the honor and the glory that He deserves. Amen. All right, well, why don't we stand, and I'm just going to invite the band up. And before we sing, I just want to encourage you that over this next song, if you would like prayer just to respond to that. I did feel quite a weightiness on my heart at the beginning for people who might be, as I said, sowing in tears at the moment. And if you would just like the Lord to just speak and the Holy Spirit to be your comforter this morning, to just respond for that in prayer. And also if it just for people who, like, the breakthrough hasn't come and that's really hard, and how do I celebrate God in that season at the moment? If you would like prayer for that, we would love to pray with you for that as well. And if you just are like, I just want to keep responding to God and that looks like prayer, get prayer. It's a perfect opportunity to do that. So I might just pray and then we'll sing this next song together. So, Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you, and we want to honor you for just who you are, Lord Jesus, for your abundant goodness and for, Lord, the righteousness we have received in Jesus. And Father, we want to be people who are known for the joy that we have in you, who celebrate your goodness no matter the circumstance we're in. And so, Father, I just pray right now that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would just drop things into our mind of what it looks like for us to celebrate you in whatever season we're in, and God, in whatever way that looks like. And Lord, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for their faithfulness and their desire to follow your vision, And Lord, we just pray for expectation for the mighty acts of what you're going to do through this church. And I pray that this building would just be full of joy, full of celebration, as they are just astounded by the good and the mighty works of you, God. And Lord, that each generation here would feel value, knowing that they can testify to that and that they have such value in their story to share with each other as a family. So I thank you for each person here in the name of Jesus. And Lord, would we just sense your Holy Spirit helping us to respond to the next moment in our journey with you. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.